If you'll turn over to Proverbs 30, and then I'm going to read one verse from Psalm 104, and then we'll read a couple of verses from Proverbs 30. Psalms 104, 18, while you're turning there, says this: "The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies." The rocks for the conies. Proverbs 30, verses 24 through 28. Proverbs 30, verses 24 through 28 say this: "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you tonight again through the blood and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Lord, we are just so thankful that we can gather together as the people of God. And Lord, we want to say a special prayer for Pastor Wood and his wife, that you, again, that your good hand would be upon them. And Lord, you just touch Sister Wood. Please give the doctors wisdom with the tests they're running. And Lord, that they'd be able to find out what the issue is. And Lord, she could get the help that she needs. Or Lord, if it'd glorify you, just to come by and give her that special touch. But please be with them and comfort them. Right now, Lord, I think is my wife, and she'll be getting on a plane shortly and traveling. And Lord, again, thinking of Ari and Ben and David and others. And Brother Ken, Lord, just so many needs. Lord, Sister Judy, Sister Mark, Lord, so many physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. Lord, no doubt there's people trying to make important decisions. They need wisdom. Lord, our young people with their education, and Lord, others with jobs. And Lord, I'm glad, dear God, that we can come before you and come before the throne of God boldly, dear God. And Lord, lay everything at your feet. And Lord, by faith, trust you, lean upon you, and cast all our cares upon you. So Lord, as we look at a few things tonight, dear God, our desire is that, first of all, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and glorified. And Lord, that your people would get help. And Lord, if by chance there's somebody here tonight, for whatever reason, up to this age and stage, this point in their life, they've never been born again. For whatever reason, they've not yet put their trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, you would convict that heart, open that heart, and Lord, allow that one to see the absolute necessity of turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, lest they die in their sin and go to hell. So, Lord, I pray, work in that heart or hearts. And, Lord, your children tonight, Lord, again, you know what's going on in every heart and every home. Please help them. Again, and in everything, our desire is always that Jesus Christ would be glorified and that you would build your local church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we look at Leviticus 11:5 says this: "And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you." So you saw a few of these verses reference the coney. Now, what is a coney? Just in case you want to know, it's a rabbit-sized animal resembling a guinea pig. Woo, I like that, man. I just had some good big guinea pig when I was approved. Man, if you've never got a chance to eat guinea pig, you need to go down there. Man, I had a good time eating those guinea pigs, and I took some pictures. Let me tell you how you do a guinea pig. I got a picture of me holding a guinea pig. First thing you do is you cuddle it. So cute, right? Then I took another picture, and I was cutting it. Then you cut it, right? Then I took a picture of me cooking it. Then you cook it, right? And then you consume it. So I got it. If you want to see the stages of eating a guinea pig, I got them all. I got them on file, right, in my picture thing. Cuddle, cut, cook, consume. That's your outline for a guinea pig. And I don't know if coney tastes the same, but anyways, I'll move on. And so it lives in Africa, Syria, Arabia, that area. And again, they just have short legs. I'm sure they're cute, probably make a nice pet. But they're known for living in the clefts of the rock. Notice that, in the clefts of rocks. Right? Doesn't have to scoop out a hole like some animals dig a hole in the ground. No, these go to the rocks as we see in the Word of God. The coney dives among the rocks. That's the thought. The coney dives among the rocks when it sights an enemy. When it sights an enemy, it heads for the rocks, is what the Word of God says. So, but it's amazing what a furry little animal, amen, can teach us about reliance upon God. And notice the Word of God says it's feeble. It's feeble. That means weak. having little physical strength, not able to resist a violent attack. Think about that thought, being weak, feeble, not able to resist a violent attack. And then, of course, it's unclean, right? Some animals were clean, considered clean. Some animals were considered unclean, right? Foul, dirty, not fit for use is a thought there. Now, most people do not like to be thought of as feeble, weak, and unclean, right? But these words describe humanity correctly: feeble, weak, unclean. Most people are taught, right, especially men, were taught to be macho, tough, and have a can-do attitude, right? I mean, I had three older brothers, and I was raised on the street. I mean, when I was 9 years old, if I didn't come home with a bloody nose and, amen, and stains on my jeans, that was a bad day, right? And, of course, you guys knew my brother Dave, right? He was the only one that was allowed to beat me up, even though other people did. But, you know, so I had to learn to sort of, you know, I'm not some big tough guy. I say, listen, I'm not tough. I'm crazy. Crazy sometimes can outdo tough. I've learned that, right? But you know, we're taught, and then, you know, go in the military. So we're taught to be all that a lot of times as men. But even women today are brought up to be self-reliant. They do not need assistance from anyone. They have the ability to make it on their own. You know, and of course, religion to the world, religion is a crutch. You know, it's for the weak and those that cannot stand on their own two feet and face reality, right? Isn't that what a lot of people say? And they were, oh, religion, man, that's just a crutch for the weak. Well, you know what? I don't agree with what the world says about that. I don't agree, of course, what the world says about a lot of things. But I confess I'm weak and cannot make it on my own. You know, I'm glad I can confess that today. You know, I've said it before. One of the greatest days of my life is when I realized how weak I was and was willing to admit it. Amen. I confess tonight I'm weak. I'm feeble. I cannot make it on my own. And as these verses, we'll learn these verses, I want to say tonight, I need God. I need God. I need God, and I need those that He brings into my life. I'm not afraid, amen, to look at God and say, God, I need You. Lord, I'm dependent upon You. Lord, I need You to be in control of my life. I need You to help me make the decisions I need to make. I need You, amen, to guide me in the way that I should go and help me to discern in the decisions I need to make and protect me from doing the wrong thing. I'm not afraid to look at the church tonight. Amen. Not only do I need God, but I need those He brings into my life. I'm not ashamed to look at you, the church, and say, hey, I need you. I need you in my life. I'm glad that God brought you into my life. I'm so thankful to have you into my life. It's a blessing, amen. And I know many or most whoever pray for me, and I pray for you, and that's a blessing. Amen, to know that I have that in my life, that I can call people. How many times have I called Brother Vernon or called other people for some wisdom and some guidance and things like that and say, hey, listen, I what a wonderful thing to be able to say that I need God and I need those that God brings into my life. Yes, I'm feeble. And again, feeble means weak. Now, normally you think of it in this case, you know, when it talks about the Cody, not having much physical strength. But of course, in our case, a lot of times it has to do with spiritual strength. You know, I look at, you know, being saved almost 40 years, being full-time in the ministry 30-something years, and boy, sometimes I'm ashamed. And I just like, man, that still feels so weak, even in faith. You know, it's amazing how God adjusts faith in our life, however you might say. You know, sometimes I felt like I had, you know, when I tell the stories of great things I've seen God done, you know, sometimes I just feel like in my ministry I've had so much faith, man, I just felt like a lion. I could just go out there and take anything on. But boy, sometimes I just felt so weak, I was scared to go out my own front door. You know, God does that, amen, so He, to keep us and make sure that we're relying upon Him, whatever's going on in our life, right? And I admit, all right, that even though, you know, I might have been in the ministry this long, and I try to pray every day, and I try to walk with God, man, I don't think I can handle a violent attack of the enemy on my own. And boy, we know the enemy is out there ready to attack. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Think about that word, devour. Boy, you want to see what devour means, get on YouTube and watch some of those videos about a lion attacking something, right? And man, you just see maybe a leg or an ear there, right? He devoured that thing. Boy, that's what the devil wants to do to you. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. He just wants to leave something barely unrecognizable out there. That's what he wants to do in our life. So, but in saying this and saying this about myself, it's not like I'm trying to be self-depreciating or anything. I'm simply agreeing with the Word of God. Because the Word of God, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You want to know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. Exactly what it said. You need to realize that. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, let me ask you this question. Why would you? I mean, if you're saved, why would you want to do anything without Jesus? I mean, what's it say there in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen? The same was in the beginning with God, right? And what does it makes the statement? Without him was not anything made that was made. Without him was not anything made that was made. You know what that says to me? That God, the Father, when he chose to do something, when he chose to create all these great things we see out there, he said, you know what? First decision I'm going to make, if you ever made a decision, if we want to say it that way, he said, I'm not going to do anything without Jesus being a part of it. I'm not going to do anything without my son being an active part of it. Without him was not anything made that was made. You know, that'd be a good principle for life. And say, you know what? Whatever I do, I'm not going to do nothing. When it comes to getting married, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to making decisions in my life, I'm going to make that decision right now that every decision is going to include Jesus Christ. Every decision is going to involve Jesus Christ being a major part, an active part of that decision. We want to get that settled that we need him. I'm so glad that God gave me that conscious awareness. Amen. I mean, I turned 60 the other day. I know, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. I probably look 75. But you know, I said, that's fine. I feel good. I said, I'm 60, I feel 30, and I act 5, and I'm enjoying life. Amen. But I said, you know, I'm so glad that at this age and stage of life, that I'm going through life with a conscious awareness. Lord, whatever time I have left, Lord, whatever time you give me on this earth to serve you, Lord, I want you to be the center of it all. Lord, I want you to be the focus of it all. Lord, I don't, you know, I resigned the church about a year and a half ago. And so you know what I've been doing for, I'll just be honest with you. Can I just be honest with you for a second? You know what I've been doing the last year and a half? For a year and a half, I've just been trying to spend time with God and say, oh, God, work on me. Work on me, God, whatever time you give me left, Lord, I want to finish strong. Lord, I failed you so much. If I'll be honest with you, boy, I believe I resigned this church for whatever reason, I believe that was the will of God. But if I'm just being honest with you, I said, Lord, I just felt like I was such a failure as a pastor. Lord, I feel like, I don't know, I wish I'd have done a better job for you. I wish I'd have done a better job for those people. But, oh, God, if you'd work on me, Lord, if you'd break me back down, and God, if you'd build me back up, Lord. And, Lord, I just want to be the servant you'd have me to be. Oh, God, whatever, Lord, I want to go through life staying weak. Lord, I want to go through life being completely dependent upon you. Can I say that? I hope that, I'm not saying that, I want that to be the desire of everybody's heart. I pray the desire of your heart is to be completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few more verses. Psalm 6:2 says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. You know, have you ever, one thing my grandfather taught me, he was a preacher, is about praying through the Word of God. Praying through the Word of God. Now, I haven't prayed through the whole Bible, but I've prayed through several books of the Bible, and I've prayed through the whole book of Psalms. Boy, you ought to try that sometime. You take a verse like this, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Boy, you read that, how about praying it? How about taking that verse and say, God, I want to say that's true in my life. Lord, I need you to have mercy upon me. Lord, I'm weak. I'm weak. I'm feeble. Lord, I need you. And you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I can't make it without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope I live, and I hope you live with that conscious awareness that you absolutely need the Lord Jesus Christ. So Psalm 38, verse 8, I'm feeble and sore broken. I have warred by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Oh, God, my heart's all stirred up. My heart's all confused. But, Lord, you're my stabilizer, amen? I'm going to cast it up upon you. Mark 14, 38, watch and pray lest ye enter temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but you all know what it says. The flesh is weak. Boy, I'm glad, amen? I'm glad when I got saved, he quickened my spirit, right? It was dead. He quickened it. And then he saved my soul. But boy, this old flesh ain't changed a bit. Amen. Boy, this 60-year-old flesh is as sorry today as it ever was. It's as wicked today as it ever was. Amen. It's as no good today as it ever was. Boy, I want no reliance upon this flesh that is so weak. Boy, like it says over there is at Romans 7. Oh boy, when I got saved, there's something in me that says, go all out for God, go all out for God, go all out for God. But this flesh says, oh, come on, man, slow down. Hey, go out there and enjoy life. I said, man, I am enjoying life. There's nothing more exciting than serving the Lord. So I confess in myself, I have no strength to resist a violent attack of the enemy. You know, I think of Samson in his own strength. Man, he was strong. You know, whenever they do a movie of Samson, they always have some muscle guy doing Samson. You know what? Let's remake the movie of Samson. We're going to have some 90-year-old weakling, amen, play Samson. That'll really mess him up because who knows? That might have been what he looked like. You know, he might not have been buff like Joshua, you know what I mean? All those guys, right? Right, you know, we ought to have some 90-year-old weakling play Samson so that they know that his strength was from Almighty God. Amen. That's how they need to do it. But you know the story. He got caught up with Delilah, and she came in Judges 16, 20. Says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I go out as at other times before and shake myself. And look at this. Some of the saddest words in the Word of God. What's it say? He wist not. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Boy, I think, boy, what a terrible thing to be a child of God. And you say, I'm going to walk out this door today, and I'm going to do some things, and you've gotten so far away from God as a child of God that you're not even consciously aware that you're not where you should be with God, that the Spirit of God is not upon you. You say, oh, God, every day you got to get up, and when you sit alone and say, God, I don't want to walk out that door without you. Lord, when I walk out that door today, I want to walk out with a conscious awareness that your good hand is upon me, that your presence, amen, is flowing in me and your presence is flowing through me, that Lord, wherever I go, Lord, I'm being a witness for you, Lord, and I'm helping and encouraging others along the way in your name. Boy, so we know what happened to Samson. Boy, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, left to yourself, amen, we are unfit and weak, amen, for the master's use. But listen, we don't have to be ashamed of being weak when we're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 says this, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. And what's it say? For we also are weak in him. We're weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. What a wonderful thing. It's okay to be weak. You know, it's like when I was in the military. You know, we might feel vulnerable when we're out there walking through the field by ourselves, but then they gave us those vehicles. And boy, because we were in that vehicle, we had a little bit more boldness. We felt a little bit safer. Hey, listen, walking out in this world by yourself, man, you're vulnerable. But boy, in Christ, amen, you have all the resources you need to have a victorious life in him. Psalm 103, 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And that's okay. He's there for us. Our text verse teaches us some other things about the coney. Again, verse 26, what? The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks, right? House, their dwelling place, their refuge. I just love the word refuge. I love that word. And knowing that Jesus Christ is my refuge. Because again, what is the defining thing about a refuge? What's that dividing thing for something to qualify as a refuge? It's a place that you can get in and the enemy can't. For it to really be a refuge, you can get in and the enemy can't. Boy, I'm glad, amen, that I can get into the rock. I can get into the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil can't get in. The world can't get in. The flesh can't get in. Amen. My fears and my worries and all that which would hold me back from being effective for God can't get in. Amen. When I'm in Jesus Christ and resting in Him and leaning on Him and abiding in Him and trusting in Him. He is my refuge, a rock. What is a rock? It's a firm, unmovable foundation. And boy, that is Jesus Christ. And then it says a cleft, a space or opening made by splitting as the cleft of a rock, right? What is a cleft? Amen. It's just an open spot in the rock. Boy, we have that. You know what happened at Calvary? Some open spots were made in the rock. That's what happened. Boy, when they put those nails in those hands, they were making an opening in the rock. When he took that spear and cut that spot on Jesus Christ, what was he doing? He was making a cleft in the rock, a place where you could get in, a place where you could hide, amen, a place where you could flee from the enemies of life and the world and all, amen, that would seek to tear you down and destroy you, amen, and keep you, amen, ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me give you a couple quick reasons here, some reasons why, amen, why we need the rock, amen, why we need the rock. I want to say to you tonight that you need the rock. Exodus 1, because the rock is the quencher of all thirst and the source of salvation. It's the quencher of all thirst and the source of salvation. Exodus 17, 6, the Lord God said this to Moses, behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. Psalm 105, 41 says this, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out and they ran into dry places. That's got to be one of my favorite verses. You've heard me say it before, the waters gushed out. Man, the water was just flowing everywhere. You see, and when the water's flowing everywhere, you know what that means? Everybody can get in at the same time. Everybody can get in at the same time. Now, if we were all thirsty, I'd say, oh, you thirsty? Yeah, I say, here, you can have some water. Man, I'm going to drink after you. You wouldn't want none of that, would you? So, well, there's a drinking fountain back there. Let's make a line. We'd all have to wait our turn. But let me tell you, if the water's just flowing everywhere, nobody has to wait in line. Nobody has to wait their turn. Everybody can come at the same time. And that's how it is at the things of God. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to His grace that is flowing, His mercy that is flowing, His forgiveness that is flowing, amen, His love that is flowing, nobody has to wait in line. Everybody can come at the same time and get the love they need and the mercy they need and the grace they need and the help they need and the wisdom they need and the forgiveness and guidance. Whatever it is you need from God, you don't have to stand in line tonight. Everybody can fall upon this altar at the same time, and God be going, I hear you, and I hear you, and I hear you, and I hear you, and I'm helping you, and I'm helping you, and I'm helping you, and I'm doing for you, and I'm working in you, and I'm working in you, and I'm here for you, and I'm here for you. Everybody at the same time. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God we serve. Nobody, it gushes out from God. Amen. We see when the rock was smitten, and of course, that's a picture of Jesus Christ at Calvary, right? He was judged, and he was judged once. And immediately after the price was paid, amen, after he'd been judged, after he rose again the third day, everybody, amen, was welcome to come and have access to the things of God at the same time. And of course, we know that rock pictures Christ. So 1 Corinthians 10:4 says this, and did all drink. If you read there, amen, at the same time. It doesn't say that, but we know they all drank at the same time. The same spiritual drink. See, it's all the same. They drank the same spiritual drink. Amen. Hey, what's going on in your life tonight might be different from what's going on in my life tonight. which might be different what's going on in her life tonight. Those things might be different, but the source of our help is the same. They all drank from the same. Jesus, 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 Jesus. The source is all the same. They all drank from the same spirit, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I love that. Did you catch that? That rock that followed them. Can you see a couple of guys walking along? Like, did you see that rock move, or is it me? I think that's the same rock we saw a few miles down the road. I mean, that would throw you off, huh? I was like, that rock is moving. Is it a sniper? You know where snipers, they got to come up. I don't know. That's Jesus. Jesus is following us. Jesus is following you. And then we know the story that this happened again about getting water from the rock. Numbers 20, and the Lord spake unto Moses, take the rod and gather out the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother. Now, but notice what it says this time, speak. You see, the first time he said, strike the rock. But this time we have speak. And we know, I don't have to read, you know, Moses got in trouble because he got mad and he struck it twice. That's why he got in trouble with God. Because why? Because there was no reason to strike it. The price had already been paid. The judgment had already been paid, right? When he struck the rock the first time. Amen. Jesus only had to go to Calvary once for all, the Bible says. Isn't that good? Hey, listen, I'm glad that Jesus paid the price for my sin. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not 100% know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say that Jesus Christ paid the price for you. He paid it once, and you only have to receive it once. I'm glad, let me tell you, you know, I like telling stories of what God's done in my life. But you know what I like talking about? I like talking about those mountaintops experiences with God. I look back over 34 years of serving God, and you know what I see? I see mountaintops. But here's what you have to remember. If there's mountaintops, there's valleys, because how do you get a mountain? There's a valley between every mountain. So I can talk about those valleys. Oh, God bless there, God bless there, God bless there. But you know what I have to say in between that? Jeff failed there, Jeff failed there, Jeff failed there, Jeff messed it up there, Jeff got it wrong there. But you know what? When I did, and when I do, I don't have to get saved again. The rock doesn't have to be smitten again. You know what he says? Jeff, just come talk to me. Jeff, just come talk to me. Let's just talk this thing out. Let's just come talk to me, amen? I'm glad I don't have to go. Oh, I want to get this right, but I got to wait for Jesus to go to the cross again. No. Just come talk to me, Pam. Just come talk to me. Just come talk to me. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that, amen, on May 19, 1987, the rock was struck, if you will, on my behalf, and I got in. But over the last 37 years, it hadn't been struck again. Last 37 years, it's just he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he says, hey, Jeff, you need to do some talking right now. You need to get that thing right, you goofball. Amen. You messed it up. Yes, Lord, I blew it. And I just come talk to him. And you know what happens? As soon as I talk to him, right? Boy, I mess up and I mess up that fellowship. But as soon as I talk to him, you know what happens? The water begins to flow from the rock again. Amen. The grace and forgiveness is flowing and gushes out once again. Amen. It helps me to get back on my way. What a wonderful thing that is. Quickly. Trying to finish up here. Let me say this. The rock. Why we need the rock? Well, we know it's the place, amen, where the water flows, the grace flows, the love flows, the mercy flows. Whatever you need, it flows from the rock. And you can get in on it tonight. The rock also is the place to see the glory of God. We know the story. You know the story, right? Moses, Lord, I want to see your glory. See, what you know how Moses lived despite everything? Moses lived in this reality as he walked with God. That's good, but I want more. That was good, but I want more. That's good, but I want more. That's how we want to live. I look back over 37 years, I say, man, that's good. When I look back, I say, that's good. But when I look ahead, you know what I say? I want more. I don't care how long you said. I hope you can look back. If you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 60, or if you're as old as Brother Vernon. Brother Vernon looks back, amen, he got saved in 1983. Right here. And he looks back and he says, that's good. But why is he still in his spot tonight? Because he's saying, I want more. Brother Vernon's sitting there tonight. Sister Tom's sitting there tonight. And you hear what they're saying? Why are they here? Because they're saying, I still want more. Thank God. Amen. I want more. He said, Lord, I've seen that. Lord, I want more. And where'd he put him? He says, well, I got a spot over here for you. If you'll get in there, you'll see my glory. You'll see my glory. Oh, listen, when you if you're feeling beat down, if life's getting to you, you know what you need to do? Amen. Just go stand in the cleft of the rock. Just go stand, amen, right there where, where that spear went in. Just go stand there and say, Lord, come by. Come by. He delights. He delights to reveal himself to his people. Let me tell you, if you want to see God, you'll see him. God is in the revealing business. He reveals, amen, his promises and precepts through his word, and he reveals himself. God delights to. Man, I tell you what, I was talking about that this morning where I preached. I said, you know what? Hey, man, some of the best times I've had is to say I like coming to church and enjoying God with the people of God. But I'm telling you what, if you've never been sitting alone in your chair at the house and him come by, it's been a while. You know what you need to do this week? You need to get along with God. Say, God, I need you to come by again and show me your glory and reveal yourself afresh. That's what God does. Quickly, the rock is the place of answered prayer and comfort to a troubled heart. Psalm 61:2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. From the end of the earth. I like that. It means it doesn't matter where I'm at. Because you know where I like to hang out? Hey, I'm a missionary. I like to hang out at the end of the earth. Amen. I'm willing to go anywhere, right? Hang out there. I'm hanging out at the end of the earth. Hey, uttermost part, wherever you are, you can cry to him because he's the God of the whole world. He's the God of the whole world. Man, I've seen God in Greenville, South Carolina. I've seen God. I've been in the deepest jungles of the Congo, and you know what I did? I saw God. I've been on a remote island in the middle of the Bering Strait. You know what? Who I saw there? I saw God. I've gone into war zones. You guess who I found? I found God. I've been everywhere I went. Man, I was just in Peru. You know where I saw? I saw God. Just went on a cruise. I didn't know God took cruises. I saw God there. Man, I got to share my testimony with this young lady that worked on the cruise, Samantha. Pray for Samantha. I got talking. And boy, I sat there and man, she just began to cry. I said, Samantha, I said, here's my motto. Go means don't stay. Samantha, find God's will for your life. Samantha, God wants to do something in your life. She said, well, you know, I'm married to Emil. He's a young man I'd met. I didn't know they were married. They just got married in March. I said, oh, Samantha, don't waste your life. Emil, don't waste your life. Get out there and find out what God has for you. Right as I was getting ready to walk off the ship, and I ran into Emil, and he stopped me. He said, I want you to know, whatever you said to my wife, that's all we've talked about the last couple of nights. We're going to quit this ship and go find out what God has for us. He said, my wife's never talked about God. He said, I was raised in church, but my wife's never talked about God. But the last two nights, all we've talked about is that we're going to quit and go find out. Oh, my friend, amen. Wherever you are, God wants to hear from you, and God wants to meet you there, and God wants to help you right there and bring you unto himself and then send you out to do great and mighty things to his honor and glory. When my heart is overwhelmed, we've all had overwhelmed hearts, and if you haven't had an overwhelmed heart, if God tarries and you live, I guarantee you, you're going to end up with an overwhelmed heart. Young people enjoy life, but if God tarries, there's an overwhelmed heart for some reason waiting in your life. But fret not. God will be there when you call on him with that overwhelmed heart. The rock is the place of rest in a weary land. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. You see, that's why we need the water to gush out. We live in a dry place. As the shadow of a rock, of a great rock in a weary land. Anybody get weary this week? Anybody been weary in the last year? Oh, my friend, go lean upon that rock, amen, and let him cast his shadow upon you. And just stay right here, son. Just stay under my shadow, amen. And let me just give you precious things in your heart. Let me give you what you need in your soul. You just hang out right here, and I'll give you the strength, amen, to keep going. Next, the rock is who the church is built upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Boy, if that doesn't give us boldness as the people of God, what will? The greatest thing out there, right? There's a lot of bad things out there, but the worst thing out there is hell, because hell is eternal. I remember I was witnessing someone, and a guy says, "Well, how do you know this isn't hell?" I said, "That's an easy answer, because you can go get a drink of water. Can't go get a drink of water in hell. Can't go get a drink of water in hell." But let me tell you, amen, God, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Doesn't matter what is going on out there, you can have the victory if you're trusting and if you know you're in the will of God. You just better make sure you're in the will of God. Just know you. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are. What matters is that wherever you are, you can say, "This moment I'm in the will of God." That's all that matters. That's why I say all the time, God has a right to do what he wants with that which is his. Now, you guys have known me long enough. You know, if I could be where I wanted to right now, I'd be in the middle of the Amazon jungle. Matter of fact, I made a call this week. I'm trying to set up to go there. And I was talking to a young guy. I said, "Listen, whatever's the deepest I can go, whatever's the wildest tribe I can hang out with in the jungle," I said, "I want to go." He's like, "Okay, we'll try and get it for you," right? But amen, but you know what? If he lets me go, fine. But right now, this is where I'm standing. And that's okay. Because I can stand here saying, today, this is where God wants me. I'm in the will of God. That's all that matters. And that's all you need to be able to say wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And know that wherever he sends you, it doesn't matter. You can have the victory because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And you're the church. Why? As we say, again, the church is not a building put together by man. The church is a people put together by God. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against you if you're in the will of God, resting in the power of God. Finally, the rock is our rock. And the only true rock. Boy, look at these great verses. He is the rock. He is the rock. Amen. Not that wrestler, young people. He's the rock. Amen. Just to get that straight. I guarantee you, most people under 20, if you say, "Hey, man, I like the rock." Say, "Oh, yeah, he's pretty good." Yeah, No. Him. Let's just get straight. He's the rock. And you know what? His work is perfect. I don't know what's happened in your life since you've been saved, and I don't know why it happened. All I know is this: his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without equity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 23:1, for their rock is not our rock. We need to make that clear. Their rock is not our rock. Their God is not our God. You know, I've been in Buddhist temples, right? I told you about being in a Buddhist temple in Korea with my in-laws, and I walked up. There's this big old ugly god in this temple, and they're bringing food to him. And my brother-in-law says, "What do you think about that, Jeff?" I said, "Well, let me tell you what I think about that, my brother-in-law. They made their god. My God made me." Big difference. I don't have to bring food to my God. My God brings things to me to sustain me and help me as I walk with him and talk with him and fulfill his will for our life. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. I'm so glad I can personally say, he's my God. But I'm also glad I can say, Pam, sister, she is such a blessing. He's our God. Brother Mark, I pray for your wife every day. He's our God. And remember that. Whatever's going on, he's our God. And we can band together. Put our faith together and put our prayers together and lean on him together and come to him together. Say, he's our God and we trust him. I don't understand why everything's going on. I mean, I look at just my family. I mean, we've all got things. Your wife's got physical problems and everything, your physical problems. And right now, my wife's got physical problems. All three of my children have physical problems. And all of a sudden, I don't understand all that. All I know is this. I trust him. He's faithful. He cares. And at the end of the day, however it turns out, at the end of the day, I'll be able to say, he doeth all things well. Even though I don't understand it, I don't have to. All I know is he's God, and he does right, and he's faithful. And however it may look, however it may feel, however it may hurt, in this life, he doeth all things. He's our rock, and we can cast it all upon him. Again, as we finish, Proverbs 30, 26, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses on the rocks. May it be said, Choice Hills Baptist Church are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses their refuge. Listen, my friend, all I can say is if you're not sure you're saved, if you need to be saved tonight, or you need some guidance in your life, or you need some help tonight, or whatever it is, the only advice I can give you is get to the rock and let him help you tonight. Let's pray.